This is Engineer Eric listening to part two of our February 2nd, 2010 Jimmy Doan Show.
Anyway, Spider Monkey is playing February 6th in St. Augustine at this really cool club in St. Augustine.
I gotta spend some time down there just to go see those guys.
I'm telling you right now, man, they only do a couple shows a year, and this is one of my favorite tracks, so here it goes.
I'm on fire!
Okay.
Woo!
Yeah!
There's some... I hope that crackling is just in my earphones.
No. I can edit it all out. It's all good. Okay. But anyway, it's little Rev 7 Spider Monkey, Todd Horn, and the boys, man.
They're, yeah.
Show on February 6th out there in Jacksonville, St. Augustine area, in case you can make it over there.
Yeah, they got one big fan in Colorado.
Man, they bring it, man.
They bring it big time.
Well, that's this Saturday or Sunday, right?
Yeah, it's coming. Yeah, this weekend.
Yeah.
Anyway, but if anybody wants to know where it is, please email eric@jimmydoan.com. eric@jimmydoan.com. Actually, I got C in there too, so anyway, it doesn't really matter.
All right, Jimmy, what else is happening?
Okay, what else is happening? We finished the show while we were off the air.
Yeah, we did.
Unfortunately.
We got her all wrapped up.
Yeah, you should have been here.
All right,
should have been here. It was outstanding.
Should be a little more succinct than that.
Do it again.
Mm-hmm. Do it again. Well, I'm thinking
Jimmy was at his most eloquent during that time frame.
Well, it's what I do.
Yeah.
I don't remember. What did we talk about anyway? I don't even remember. So anyway,
the other thing. That's why we record these things.
Well, we weren't recording, unfortunately, the intermission the last 40 minutes or so.
Damn it.
Yeah. That's some of my best stuff. Some of your best stuff, too, Stitch.
Well.
Right.
I only had some phasers.
Phasers? You've got them. I have one bank recharged.
This is always good.
Yep.
Russia's...
Always good to have phasers.
Pretty much.
Okay. Russia's evolution is seen through the golden arches. I have to put my glasses on here. The reason I brought this up was because it shows a little bit about capitalism and capital and so forth. It's in the, of all places, Russia. The 20th anniversary of McDonald's is being celebrated like this week in Moscow.
Really?
They
didn't get one until 1990?
Or whatever 20 is from 2010.
Yeah. 90.
Right. But it was interesting because the 20 years ago, the guy from McDonald's walks up to some lettuce guy and says, "Can you give me some lettuce, you know, 5 boxes a week or something like that?" And the guy almost turned him down because he said it was too small. So, but then he realized, wait a minute, this is McDonald's, and they've got, at that time, this is 20 years ago, they have, you know, 1,000 stores in the United States. And the guy saw it that it might pay off. So, with that, Mr. Semenov said they started a company that has all but cornered the market on fresh lettuce. Fresh vegetables, packaged fresh vegetables in Russia. They're celebrating their 20th anniversary by outsourcing the last product that they needed. I think it's the buns. They outsourced the pickles and the ketchup and everything. In other words, when they started off 20 years ago, McDonald's invested $50 million in 1990 dollars to build McCampus or whatever they call it here, McStorehouse or whatever they call it. And that's where they made all of, they did everything in-house, the McNuggets, everything they did totally to McDonald's specifications.
Because the market in Russia wouldn't support all
exactly.
the stuff they needed.
They didn't have half the stuff.
Right.
I mean, they never even, you know, they said even right now they still import potatoes.
Hey, now I got zero. I got no bid here. I got zero. I'm standing at zero. Anybody want to go island zero? I got zero right now. Okay, over there, no, zero. I got none. I got zilch. I got bupkis. I got zero. Nothing. Hey.
So, and that's right. And that was, I got zero.
Right.
And so, it's taken 20 years, and now they're going to close down this $50 million place.
God bless America.
Exactly. God bless Russia. So it turns out that now there are pickle gods, kings, whatever, lettuce king. There's the hamburger guy. I mean, all these people have made just jillions on McDonald's alone. I don't know how many. I forget it. They've got 345 or something McDonald's in Russia. And they, the the average people, the number of people that come through in a Russian McDonald's is exactly twice as many as the average that comes through in a U.S. one. The point is that everything, as they say, from French fries to pie filling had to be made from scratch at this sprawling, what they call the sprawling factory. But they've spawning dozens of new businesses, some now among the most successful in the Russian food catering industry. And the Jim Skinner, who's the global chief executive of McDonald's, said, our goal is to put the business in the hands of all the independent suppliers. And this guy, one guy, became the pickle king of Russia. And then on the heels of success, Mr. Semenov has gone into, of course, I love this part, he's gone into politics. I mean, you know,
Skinner?
What do you know?
We're creating a new perfect society in which the mistakes of the past will be eliminated.
That is so perfect. So anyway, apparently there's a Dairy King now. Bill Dan, a milk and juice packager, has become the first Russian food company to list on the New York Stock Exchange in 2002. From the day it opened the gates on the $50 million factory, McDonald's had intended to hand out its functions to other businesses and eventually shut it down, which is now it is 20 years later, and they're doing that. What I like about this, apparently McDonald's still owns all 235 restaurants. They haven't been able to franchise them out yet, and I'm not sure. They have a way, and there's a reason for it. Today, the restaurants in Russia employ, this is the part I like, this is what capitalism, today the restaurants in Russia employ 25,000 people, but a number far eclipsed by the businesses in McDonald's supply chain, which supply 100,000.
Right, and that's what one of the
employ 100,000, excuse me.
Yeah, and one of the things I noticed in the article, it said that the buns, since they were, this is the last thing to outsource,
right.
The reason being 300 plus ingredients for the bun.
Yeah.
I mean, you can imagine what a range of industry that touches on.
Right.
I mean, it's amazing.
No, it's unbelievable. I mean, when you think about it, even the boxes that these things are shipped in, you know, who designs them, the paint,
right,
the cardboard, you know, whatever it is, the trucks, everything. That I mean, it's easily, forget the people that are directly involved in the production of these things, like the guys that pick the pickles or
right,
whatever.
Right, right, right.
How many pickles could a pick pick? Okay.
Right.
And
but no, the guy who draws the design that goes on the, you know, the guy who
the
writes the copy.
Right,
exactly.
Right.
Yeah, I mean.
On and on and on. But the point is that here is a free market. Here's a company, McDonald's, that goes into Russia in 1990. This is like the day the wall came down.
20 years later, 25,000 employees.
And 100,000 that they can add, that are actually attached onto them like a,
right,
like those special fish on a shark, you know.
Remoras.
Remoras, yeah.
Okay, now contrast that, Jimmy, with the United States, okay? Where we did this show 2 months ago, where they're attacking McDonald's,
yeah,
over here.
Right.
For the trans fats.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's McDonald's obesity killer. Killer McDonald's. Yeah, killer Ronald. This is Ronald. Yeah. I mean, over here, I mean, literally, Michelle Obama announced that at the State of the Empire address, they announced that Michelle Obama.
State of the Empire. I like
Michelle's.
I like that.
Going, yeah, to be. She's going to be the fat czar, the fat kid czar. I mean, she, you know, she's going to watch over all the fat kids. And I guarantee you, it's going to be Michelle versus McDonald's. I mean, I'm wondering. And
well, Michelle's got guns and McDonald's doesn't.
Well, yeah.
That's it.
They're going down.
They're going down. Well, of course, you know, right outside of Washington, right outside.
They thought that last massacre was
this,
yeah,
is Prince George's County, which is like borders on Washington, D.C.
Right, right.
They want to curb the county's fast food eateries.
Aha!
This is like from January 26th, okay? This is like 4 days ago.
Ah, see, I read the past.
Yes, you read the past. I love it. I'll tell the past right now. That's right. Travel along 2 blocks inch of Central Avenue in Prince George's County, and you'll find a staggering, mind you, 11 fast food restaurants.
Staggering.
What is this, bizarro world?
You know.
For community activists, I love this, an activist. You know, the guy's not a whack job. For community whack job activist Arthur Turner and state senator David Harrington, D. Prince George's, the strip is evidence of a proliferation of burger joints and Chinese takeouts in the county, especially in poor inner capital beltway communities. pointing.
Ooh, and Chinese takeout.
Yeah, Chinese takeout, right. Then MSG, you know, okay. Pointing to studies, and of course, you know these studies are not self-serving, that rank Prince George's Prince George's among the least healthy in Maryland. Turner and Harrington want to limit new fast food restaurants in the county, a far stricter approach than what has been enacted in such places as New York City and Montgomery County. Montgomery County, of course, is also borders Washington, D.C. Yeah.
Now, there's a jobs bill for you, right?
That's right, which banned the use of trans fats in those establishments. They say, Turner and Harrington say they are concerned.
Concerned, I love it.
That the restaurants contribute to a high occurrence of obesity, diabetes, high blood pressure from heart disease, corns, and shingles, and have taken separate paths to deal with an ingrown toenail. Okay.
Hey, Jimmy, I'm concerned about the word concern.
I know. Well, let me do it. It gets better. They say that here. Wait a minute. Turner is negotiating with individual developers, and Harrington has introduced a bill in the General Assembly that would impose a moratorium on issuing licenses to new fast food businesses. Our country is inundated with unhealthy food choices. In some areas, if someone wants a healthy choice, there are no options. We want healthy options in our community.
Yeah.
And of course, it's, what do you mean, we, white man? I mean,
right.
I mean, I love it. It's everything you look in here is we want this, and we, our county is. So anyway, opponents, and then they have one line in here. Opponents of such efforts say that the people want is a matter of personal choice and should be up to the market to determine which restaurant goes where. Okay, that's
thank you.
Throwaway line. Yeah. Next, back to the central message. That hasn't stopped Turner and his group. The Coalition of Central Prince George's Community Organizations.
God, what a
CCPGCCO that recently originally negotiated with Zimmer Development to bring in Panera Bread and Chipotle.
Oh, nice.
Instead of McDonald's or Checkers, and they said it's a preferable alternative.
McDonald's owns Chipotle.
Do they?
Yeah.
I love it. Okay, perfect. I'm not saying it's healthy, but it's more healthy, said Turner. Yeah. He thinks the access to French fries has contributed to his weight problem.
Oh now
so
he's
now he comes out. I love this. Turner apparently is a fat tub of lard who can't keep his hands off the damn French fries, so he's going to ban McDonald's from the entire county. What a numbnut.
Here in Quimby would have something to say about that, I'm sure.
The bill that Harrington introduced this month would prohibit the Prince George's police from issuing new licenses to fast food restaurants in areas with a, quote, high index of health disparities.
A high index of health disparity.
Yeah.
Do your worst, you filthy, pretentious savages!
Okay, it's the Maryland Office of Minority Health and Health Disparities.
Ah, okay.
See, they're the ones that are going to be required to create a process to map the indexes. This is this index of high health of health disparities in the county. But the legislation, unfortunately, does not define what a fast food restaurant is.
No.
So Harrington's motivated. He's motivated by what he sees as the, quote, epidemic proportions of obesity among children in the county. So he says, of course, this bill's nothing about putting fast food businesses out of business. All we're trying to say is that there's, you know, danger, Will Robinson. And, you know, and then they've got Marion Nestle, a professor of nutrition, food studies, and public health. Now, you know, that's a good PhD to have on your resume.
Yeah.
And she says what she's worried about are areas
concerned
where there is...
Concerned about? What she's concerned about?
Well, here's what she's concerned about.
Areas, think of the children.
Yeah.
That's areas where there is inequitable access to healthy food.
Inequitable.
Yeah, inequitable.
It's inequitable.
Yeah, that's
inequitable
right. So, you know, I'm trying to encourage diversity of development, says a citizen in Los Angeles. And you don't want to stop economic development, but you don't want to put citizens at risk to make poor decisions. I love this.
Oh, God.
No, that's
risk
it. We don't want to put them at risk to make a poor decision. Yeah. I mean, this is the health officer.
If this is
the Prince George's health officer.
If you're going to make a decision, Like, isn't it between, like, a good decision and a bad decision?
Or even a good decision and a not-so-good one. A slightly less good one.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
I mean, by definition, one of them is slightly more risky.
By definition, it has to be.
Risky than the other. But we want to eliminate that.
Exactly, yeah. So you the bad part of the decision.
That's right. So anyway, here's your decision. You can choose between number one.
Well, we need to get her with the bank people, and then they'll eliminate the bad risk that the banks were taking. This is perfect.
No, it's unbelievable. No, I love this. Here, we're going to give you we're putting on this piece of paper the choices you have. Number one, here's first choice. That's it.
This is because of the inequitable access to
Because
government.
The other one's risky.
Right.
The other choice is risky, so we're not even going to give you a number two.
Right.
So, yeah.
You might make that other choice.
Yeah, right.
I think Flanders said something about that.
We can all work together to build a utopian society free of violence, hate, and prejudice.
And fat food.
And fat food.
Prince George's chairman, so forth, county delegation in his chamber. We have been very sensitive to the nutrition value in the schools, and this would be an extension of that. He said, we have to help guide people to have more options. I think we have a healthy discussion.
This is another extrapolation of the program that they have for the kids at school.
Right, which is, and how's that working out for
right,
you?
Right, well, yeah, well, I just love it that, you know, where the kids at school have no rights. I mean, you know, you can falsely imprison a kid at school, you can batter him, you can do whatever, okay?
But now, but we've left the kid's parents out of the equation.
Right, well, what we're going to do is
now, and their grandparents.
We're going to apply
and
those policies to the whole community
that's
across
right.
the board.
That's right. Not good enough for the school
we're
kids.
We're going to include the rest of the community.
You lucky
because
people.
Because of the inequitable access to decision making.
Inequitable. That's right. You're not making. I love this. Mrs. Jimmy does this all the time. You know, she'll say, well, which suit are you wearing? And I'll say, well, I'm going to wear this one. And, of course, that's the wrong choice.
Right, I mean,
this was not a question that you had a choice on.
No.
You know, we already knew are you wearing that tie? And, of course, the answer is,
I was
just warming up my collar.
That's right, just warming up my collar. Of course I wasn't wearing. I mean, you know, there's no choice here for God.
Don't want to waste that on a good tie.
No, it sounds like a choice to a guy.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But no, I'm sorry. You have option one. And that another, you have another shot at option one.
Well, it's like when you say, what's wrong? Nothing.
Yeah. Right. Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. I told you that. I tried that early on in my marriage with Mrs. Jimmy. Mm-hmm. I said, well, what's wrong, honey? Nothing. I said, okay. Walked out of the room. I had to duck the frying pan.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, crash goes the plate.
Clang.
You know, wait a minute. I was just listening. You didn't hear what I said. Yeah, no.
Right. See,
it was code for, yes, there's something wrong. And then we need to talk.
Ooh.
Ooh, boy, I'll tell you, that's when I wish that the Lord would smite my ears right off. May the Lord just nasty.
Crush me to a pulp.
Here,
he's going to do it if you don't.
You want to hear a policy they came up to help with the kids out in Texas, Jimmy?
Yes.
The truant kids out in Texas in this particular county are being made to carry a GPS. And they have to call in using their GPS 5 times a day.
It's like a prayer.
Well, I was just going to say, 5 times a day, they got to face east and call in.
That's because that's where the cell towers. Do they have a little carpet that they can put down on the ground to do this?
Yes, man. This is truants in Texas. There's your policy for your kids. Just expand that to the adults there.
That's it.
And it's coming.
Well, you know, aren't all cell phones now GPS enabled or something?
Yeah, yeah, of course. I mean, they're on there. I mean,
I think I have the last one that's not.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, I tell you, those old
I've been
phones,
hanging on to it.
Yeah, I mean, seriously.
Wait a minute.
Those old phones, I mean, they're at some point in the not too distant future, when everything in your home is connected to the central hub.
Yeah.
Yo, Jim, people will be over
Master
here.
Master control.
Exactly. People will be over here digging through the Jimmy junk, looking for.
Digging through the Jimmy junk
looking
with
for
a vengeance.
That's right.
That don't connect to anything.
And then I've got.
Can't even connect to the phone service.
No, that's
right.
I've got the official. How about the phone where you have to hit the little clicker on the side in order to get the operator?
Yeah, no, absolutely. Well, that's the one that Stitch is calling in on right now.
Yeah,
yeah, that's
right.
The one, man.
Yeah, that's true, that's true. No, but I mean, I've got some stuff here with actual tubes in it.
Oh, no, you have, what do you mean, some stuff?
Well, a couple of things. You know. No, this, I mean, it just...
You got stuff with relays, you know.
Relays, yeah. That's the other thing. When you turn on, it goes click.
Click. That's a mechanical device.
Yeah, that's
there.
Right.
Manly stuff right there, man.
No, that's right. You. No, you got to love that stuff. No, I'm telling you, that stuff's not going out of here anytime soon. You have to find it first, of course.
Well, yeah, no. Of course, I did make the mention of when I was cleaning up the studio here, I said... Well, we're going to take some of this junk and put it over here. And
junk?
Of course, Jimmy...
I was... Helen, I'm coming now. Martha, what was it?
Elizabeth.
Elizabeth. I'm on my way now, Elizabeth. What, junk is a four-letter word? You got to be kidding me. You don't use that word around here.
Just because somebody else threw it away,
and
Jimmy got it from the junk pile, does not mean it is not valuable Saturday morning.
Jimmy's the only person that goes to the junkyard and brings stuff home.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
What are you doing, you dummy?
What are you doing, you dummy? Don't do that, you dummy. I get dummy a lot around here.
Well, you know, if these people are willing to, if they're going to throw out diamonds into the trash,
right.
I'm going to pick them up.
Right. Except for they haven't thrown out any diamonds.
Well, no, it's
they're
a diamond.
Diamonds.
It's on the tip of this needle.
Yeah.
It's on the tip of this needle on this turntable.
Panasonic turntable.
A 500-pound turntable.
Right.
There's a chip of a diamond on there.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
I sense a little irony or something here.
Well,
a little
I don't know what it is. But let's take a quick break and we'll come right back on the Jimmy Doan Show. And we're back.
Hey!
Okay, well, let's talk about Haiti.
Haiti!
Oh,
hey,
yeah.
You know all about Haiti there, don't you, Stitch?
Yeah, I do.
Have you been down there recently?
No, thank God.
Really? Why not?
Well.
First of all, I don't think you can get in.
Oh, really? Yeah, maybe not.
No,
huh? Well, Stitch can get in.
Yeah, there were some threats, veiled threats, but
no. They were like,
is that right?
So what is just like every black market agency in the world is descending there to bag up some kids to sell off into the market there?
Or? Yeah, that's the way I see it.
I mean, isn't this like kids for the taking? Just swoop them up. Be dead right over here. You know, you just walk through there with some candy.
They arrested like 10 Baptist ministers or something trying to haul out with 13 kids or something.
Yeah.
There's all sorts of...
Are those like the ministers I defend all the time? I'm a minister.
Yeah, right. Aren't we all?
Yeah.
I got mine on the internet, on the interweb. Brazilian soldiers spray tear gas at crowd of Haitians rushing for food aid. So, you want food, do you? Take this. How about some pepper on your food? Wow.
Pepper.
Oh, my God.
But we talked about this in the last show, but Stitch was actually a caller on the last show, but or of course, our guest. But you talked about like going up to just a Publix and just emptying out $2 million worth of stuff and just airdropping it over there.
Right.
And then filling me with Fox News and just, you know, for some advertising stuff.
Right.
It's all individually packaged, therefore you're okay.
Right. But anyway,
Stitch, what did you think about that?
Well, the airdrops?
The airdrops.
The airdrops are, we've shown many times that they don't work all too well because what you end up doing is people are racing in there and generally getting hit by whatever you're airdropping, number one.
Right, but we're talking about putting parachutes on those.
Put parachutes on them and stuff like that.
Okay.
But, I mean, some of these, it's...
So would you rather get hit on the head by a Twinkie, or would you rather not eat?
The big deal is that, really, Port-au-Prince was the place that got hit.
Right.
The rest of Haiti, for the most part, is okay. So you saw a lot of people moving out of Port-au-Prince, going out.
And the way to get them out is to drop the food out there.
They were dropping food out there, but those people quite honestly had the same amount of food as they had before. So,
They could run into Port-au-Prince and sell it. That's the whole point.
Yeah, yeah.
Well. I mean, look, the food will find a way. After you're so well stuffed that you're vomiting all over the place and you still got food left over, you might go ahead and pony up. Walk in there and sell some to somebody who's starving to death.
Well, you don't necessarily need to drop it all into one specific place.
No,
I
wouldn't
stream it out as you like do your little flyover,
Well, there's 47,000 agencies down there right now dropping all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, but my point on this was that they that the Brazilian soldiers, you know, they're like from Brazil.
How many is a Brazil?
I don't
Brazilian.
Know.
Brazilian.
Yeah. Yeah, the Brazilian soldiers.
The Brazilian soldiers.
There
down
were a
there.
Brazilian soldiers.
Oh,
they,
humanity.
Is
oh,
that married in a trillion?
That's, how many is a Brazilian?
I don't know.
It's a lot. And so anyway, they anyway the point is that they the outside the presidential palace saw food running in and rushed to grab bags of dried grains, causing the soldiers, you know, caused the soldiers to use tear gas to hold them back.
Isn't that nice?
Yeah, the officials called the incident isolated and regrettable.
I guess it does.
No. Well, elsewhere in the capital, civilians backed by U.S. and U.N. troops successfully delivered food to thousands of people. Of course, there's millions that don't eat. But more troops are needed for crowd control. And as the crowd swelled outside, reopened banks and so forth, they began recruiting Haitians for cleanup tasks, aiming to put money in workers' pockets and inject money into the shuttered economy. And, of course, the thing about it is, even when you have all the money, if you don't have the food, it doesn't do you much good, obviously.
Well, and here's the other thing. I mean, money, this is more give a kid a fish stuff. I mean, this is just more gigantic giveaways, and what are they going to get out of it? I mean,
well, here's what they're going to get in
you'll get a third world shithole.
That's right.
Tent City.
Yeah, that's right. No, it'll
man, boy, if you should have bought. What's a good tent name? I mean,
yeah, right.
I mean, seriously, like a month ago,
yeah,
well, if you'd have bought
Tents Inc.
Yeah.
Yeah, whatever, you could have made some money, that's for sure.
Well, yeah, or the other thing to keep in mind is that most of the Haitians kind of lived in refrigerator boxes and tents
right.
and whatnot.
Right, right, that's
so,
why it all
know, everything collapses, and so they kind of move out, and they just set up camp someplace else. And
it's a hell of an earthquake to have
are,
a refrigerator box.
Nowadays,
collapse.
They got more food and water than they know what to do with. So.
What? Come on.
Yeah.
No.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's the whole point, is that we're giving them more stuff than they typically had.
I didn't. I thought that they couldn't. I thought that they were. There's
well,
like
here. I'll give you a little anecdote, Jimmy. They were handing out basically protein bars, right?
Right.
Because they were easy and they had a lot of
advertising on label.
Well, they had that too, I suppose. I don't know, but you know, the Haitians wouldn't eat them.
They wouldn't eat them, and the reason was
well,
it tastes like crap.
If you have people that are starving, do you think they're not going to eat anything that you give them?
A shoe leather, right? You know, what are you talking about here?
I mean, no, what I'm talking
so
about
they're
is,
not
yeah,
starving.
Here I give you something that's edible, but you refuse to eat it. You're obviously not hungry.
Right.
And I guess that's my point.
So a good point.
Yeah. And one other item, I guess, you know, Anderson Cooper goes down there, and he wanders around, and he finds this big, you know, some, you know, comes around a corner and finds people fighting or whatever, films it. And, of course, they roll that over and over again.
Right.
And that comes to characterize the state of Haiti.
Right.
Right, in people's minds.
Right.
Whereas, you know, obviously you're not going to film just people kind of walking around, you know. Not
if it bleeds, it leads.
Exactly. So what you end up with is, the media is just contributing to a false sense of what's actually occurring.
Well, yeah, I know. And not only that, there's two things I wanted to mention. I think we might have mentioned last time they fired that guy at ESPN, right, for coming out and say why he wasn't going to donate any money.
Oh, yeah, a lot of people have taken
no,
heat.
But I mean, he was, you know, but I mean, he had an op-ed piece or something on ESPN, and he said, look, it's corrupt, it's a, you know, it's a excrement hole, whatever it is. He says the money's just going to prop up another version of the corrupt government, nothing's really going to change. So forth and so on. And, you know, he was like out the door when he finished his little show.
Yeah, well, that's unfortunate.
Yeah, no, I mean, he
speaks
was,
the truth. He speaks
right.
the truth because I, you know, I've got an email through my, you know, special forces guys. A couple of, you know, they retired from the special forces, but they actually help. Nowadays, they're on the crews that go and recover people.
Yeah.
Like rubble and things like that. And they were down there, and they kind of wrote a note back to all their SF buddies. And, of course, I get a copy of that.
Right.
And these guys are saying fundamentally what the Haitians want is they want another Papa Doc.
Whoa.
They want that back. Because, you know, all this, you know, if you're going to try to instill, like, the whole democracy thing and do all this other, you know, there's all this good intentions. But quite honestly, the people in the culture, that they're not ready for that. And they really, you know, that's their discussions with these Cats was that they wanted another Papa Doc back. They needed somebody that, you know, ran the show. Yeah. You know, it's abhorrent to us, but...
Well, again, that's one of the things.
We're of a different culture. We're of a different mindset.
You know,
we live in a different, completely different world.
Well, there's a time, in my opinion, in the breakdown of society where there'll be a clamor for order and a strong leader, and which ends up being a dictator.
And as we've seen, we will see here. We've actually started to see it already. I mean, we've lost so many of our normal, agreed upon when we were growing up, freedoms. You know, the normal things that you do is now like felony illegal and so forth. I mean, it's encroaching, and at some point, as it gets worse, what is it, Tacticus or somebody, I think I have it on one of my signatures, is the more laws you have, the more tyranny you have, or the other way around, I forget. The more more laws create more tyranny.
Yep.
And so
more excuses to, you know, operate in that light.
Right. Well, I mean, we see it. I mean, here, the police, you know, to serve and protect, they protect the establishment and serve the establishment anymore around here. I mean, they, you know, hide in bushes and take money and...
Right. It's getting more revenue generating. We covered this, or we're about to cover a story right now about Gasparilla, which is a great festival we have down here in Tampa, Florida, every year. It's a great like 3-week festival where we have parades and everything. It's kind of like a little mini Mardi Gras down in Tampa.
It's really a good. And it's in Tampa.
Yes.
Which is not New Orleans.
No. Tampa's not hideous, and so. So here they are. They had the day parade last weekend, and the headline today in the newspaper was 400 people arrested at this day parade.
At an alcohol fueled, it says.
Right.
It says 400 alcohol fueled people.
Right. Now I know that this parade attracts tens of thousands of people.
Right.
So 400 doesn't seem like that many right off the bat. But then you read further and you look, and all but a couple of dozen of them were released immediately.
They were given a ticket.
Right.
Right.
And told to
show up in
show
court.
Up in court.
Yeah, and hence my comment that it was more a revenue
generation.
Well,
exactly. No, I mean, they're obviously not that much of a danger to the situation.
If you give them a ticket and say, thank you. I mean, how much danger can you be? This is one of the things I've always talked about before, and that is if you're willing to... give somebody in court, if you're willing to
give them bail,
then you're willing to release them.
Right. But see, you're not thinking of the money as a deterrent for their running away. I mean, that's what the money's supposed to be for.
That
pays the bail bondsman to go after the person.
I understand that. But I'm saying that if you put him in jail, let's say you set the bail, as this happens so many times, the money is designed to keep him in jail. Not for the revenue. It's designed to keep them in jail. That is, they can't raise the money.
Well, that's not what it's supposed to be.
I understand that. I mean, but when you think about all the people, in other words, if somebody says, I don't have the money and I'm going to jail, I don't have, you know, $5,000 and I got no way to get it, so I'm going to jail. Well, it costs, you know, whatever it costs per day, and he's in there for 30 or 60 days, there's your $5,000 that the taxpayers have picked up. And the way I look at it is, let the guy go on ROR. And it damn sure isn't going to cost you if he starts to run away. First of all, if he runs away, then we're free of him, number one.
He got away.
You know, I don't know. We heard he's in North Carolina. Fine. You know, okay. Drop, you know, that's I don't care. But if he's not run away, he isn't going to cost you $5,000 to go pick him up. You know, send the sheriff out to pick him up. It costs $100. You know, big deal.
It costs a lot more than that. But. Yeah, but I mean,
it would be cheaper to pick him up than it would be to keep him in jail, is what I'm saying.
I think we both agree that the bottom line is there's way too many things that they keep you in jail for, way too many things that they arrest you for and turn you loose about.
Well, I did the math on this thing, and I figured it's worth at least $20,000 to them, to the police and the court system, for this 400 alcohol fuel arrest. I mean, I figured that's at $50 a pop, and I know it was every penny of that.
Oh, at least. I mean,
the ones that went to court,
it got to be double, triple, or 10 times that.
Okay, well, at $50, it's $20,000.
Right.
So at $100, it's $40,000.
$100,000.
Okay,
$100,000.
So that's what I'm saying. They went out there and earned for Tampa. Close that budget gap. Okay.
Right.
Yeah, that's exactly what I think they did.
Well, they're doing it. Of course, that's it. They've started to start our budget hearings here in Alachua County. And as I
run for your life.
Run for your life. And as we have, what is she doing?
I'm
Oh, a signal. From where?
From aliens.
I think you just need... I think given that you only have one camera, you need to have Lisa just kind of pop in and wave.
Actually, we are just
We've been talking about that.
No, sit down there. We're about to switch the camera over to her.
Oh, top notch.
To do a little test.
I say top notch.
Ha! What? Yeah, he says top notch. What are you going to do? You going to go pee first?
What is he going to do? You going to put on some makeup?
Here we go.
Oh, here we go, yeah.
Oh, she's coming around there to give Jimmy a little kitsy poo.
All right. There you go. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
There you go.
Well, this show will be busy.
Well, what we're going to do is...
And there was no tongue involved, you know.
No. But not yet. But what we're going to do is we're going to...
This is a family show.
Because it's a Justin TV test, and we don't care. We've only got a few listeners out there. We're going to go ahead and flip the camera around and put it on Lisa.
We're going to flip this camera?
We got plenty more. This is all test stuff.
We're just testing.
We're taking it slow, making sure everything's cool.
We can clip this
in. Are we taking a break?
No.
Well, actually, we can. We'll take a quick break. Ready? Go.
And this is Counselor Curtis of the Hanger Dogs.
And this is Stitch from the Jimmy Doan Show.
That's right.
From the Jimmy Dogs.
And where's we're rolling. Okay, good. Didn't know that. We lost our engineer.
This is Engineer Eric and the Jimmy Doan Show. We're back with, whatever, after our commercial break. We're back anyway. It doesn't really matter.
Back with Stitch and...
Stitch, yes. Yeah, why don't you go to introduce the cast here? We got now. We have our studio babe actually on video camera there. Woo!
Very nice.
And we actually do have these things busted up into 15-minute segments on Justin TV in case you want to go out and check her out.
Oh my goodness gracious me!
There's a saver. I guess maybe okay. Yeah.
That's it.
We have them bundled in segments. And so, all right, Jimmy, so what else is happening here?
Okay, well, the last thing I have here, actually, and this is something I wanted to talk to you about, pregnant smoking mother in hospital?
No, we haven't done that one yet.
Okay, pregnant smoking mother fights ruling that kept her in the hospital. This is right. Tallahassee. She smoked cigarettes for the first 6 months of her pregnancy and was admitted with a false alarm of premature labor. Her doctor argued she was risking a miscarriage if she didn't quit smoking immediately and stay on bed rest in the hospital, and a judge agreed.
Yeah.
So apparently 3 days after the judge ordered her not to leave the hospital, she delivered a stillborn fetus by cesarean section. A legal move to keep her in the hospital continues, raising questions about a mother's right to decide her own medical treatment ends where the priority of the protecting the fetus begins. Well, at any rate, the state attorney, Willie Meggs, said he stands by his decision to seek a court order after being contacted by the hospital. This is good people trying to do good things in the right fashion to save lives, whether some people want them saved or not.
Right. Well, like the guy who shot the abortion doctor.
They convicted his butt. It was apparently she didn't like the care she was receiving at Tallahassee Memorial, and she apparently the doctor was brusque and was real upset because she was a smoker, and so the state says that this is a very rare case, one in a million. The judge ruled that the best interests of the fetus overrode Burton's privacy rights.
Her privacy right? What about her? What about the right to her body?
I don't know. Her attorney says he notes that the Florida Constitution, unlike the federal Constitution, has an explicit and strong privacy right, which the state Supreme Court has said guarantees a competent person the right to choose or refuse medical treatment.
Yeah, I mean, the Florida Constitution, literally, we have the right to be left alone, which is a good right.
Yeah, it is. Huh? If you apply the best interest of the child standard, the woman becomes nothing more than a fetal incubator owned by the state of Florida.
Right.
I mean, that is such a great... I love that. That is such a great line.
And it's true. And it's amazing to me, Jimmy. I mean,
a fetal incubator.
You know, with all the legal wrangling, I mean, what I do, in my opinion, the child doesn't have rights until it's a separate entity. I mean, at the very least.
Right.
You know? I mean, so I don't know how... I mean, to me, the judge shouldn't be ruling based on the child's rights, unless the child's been born.
Right. Of course, it's not a child.
That's
actually,
right. I mean, in my opinion, of course, that's
a lot of people. Well, a lot of people consider it murder at conception.
That's the debate you're going to get. I mean, the only good thing is that these cases are going to be so rare.
Well, that's what they said. This is 1 in 30,000, exactly. And I understand that. And it did make the news. But one of the things that you do always worry about on any of this stuff is this the slippery slope? I mean, there's right. always a first case for everything.
Right.
Okay? And we've talked to so many about one of the most horrendous ones. You know, Wickard v. Filburn, for instance, 1942, is still in effect.
Well, and Jimmy, I've talked about this type of situation starting to gain traction to create some precedents based on the idea that what they're going to do is they're going to start having prenatal care. I mean, it's already started. Prenatal care is mandatory.
Yeah.
I mean, there's things that you have to do, and if you don't do them, no, they'll swoop in and tell you you're not eating enough or you're not eating the right stuff or whatever. And you know, especially, like, I mean, I see it all the time in DCF world Right. Well,
DCF world.
And that's,
it's sort of like UCF world or whatever. Man, or UFC.
Exactly. It's sort of like hell,
right.
You know, only on fire.
Only
right.
worse.
Right.
Yeah.
And
you could boil up hell
in
plasma.
Yeah. And yeah, exactly. But hotter. And so yeah, I mean, in DCF world, that's where the state has already gotten involved in somebody's lives. Exactly.
Well, they do, of course, as you well know, they are totally in control once they get to be about age 6 with the vaccinations and everything.
Well, right. Well, that's...
now they want to, here in Florida, they're desperately trying to do to make the age 2 through 5. They call it, what is it, preschool. No, they have a name for it here. I forget what it is.
We arrest them and beat them to the full extent of the law.
Exactly.
That's right. No, they're desperately trying to make that mandatory as well.
I'm telling you, health care.
Well, this is
and if they get this health care bill through, I guarantee you there's going to be czars all over the place telling you.
Czars all over the place. You know, I love this.
Some czars.
I love this. The Russia had one czar for I don't know how long.
No,
we are.
Not us,
this
man.
Is the United States, my God. We got a lot of czars.
Yeah,
I take your czar and up you
it,
three more.
Yeah, we're doing it bigger and better.
That's right. I see your czar and raise you 9.
Whole pods of czars.
That's right. That's right. We got them all, my God.
Quivers.
We got a snark. A czar making machine like they had in the Sneech book.
Oh, exactly. Yeah. No, exactly.
Exactly.
It puts a Z in you.
Instead of a star.
Yeah, exactly.
Right, and there's no other remover device.
Yeah, no.
You know, I was watching the computer, obviously, watching the show, and I had to leave because I wasn't paying much attention to what you guys were saying.
Why could that possibly be?
Yeah, if we started to hear funny noises, we're cutting your mic.
Yeah, that's it, buddy. I'll tell you. There's even a limit here to what Jimmy Doan will do.
Well, I noticed I saw K-Man on the chat. K-Man's up watching the show. That's great.
Oh, K-Man is. Do you get an email from him? Hey, K-Man, what's up?
Hit the guns for K-Man.
Yeah, you're right. You're right about that. We got a couple
of
here.
Fire off a few rounds. That's all you got?
Yeah!
There you go.
That's a good K-Man one there. Oh, we got heavy machine guns.
Yeah,
that's a little bit more like him. K-Man the man.
That's right.
I was disappointed we missed the show. Was it in Las Vegas, the gun show recently, where they were showing off all the neat new ones? They have the Glock now has a super special green laser that comes with the thing, so you can spot it in broad daylight.
All the stuff we can't own.
No, you can own that one, I think. They had
as
one,
long
though.
As you give away all your rights.
Well, no, the Glock, I think you can just go ahead and pick that one up. No, the other one that they had.
The full auto 22 one, that's cheap, nice machine gun shooting there.
They had one that there's for, I forget what it was made, special gun, God, I can't remember, and they said the price was €5,000. Oh, I know what it is. It's a wristwatch. You have a wristwatch that has to be within like 6 or 8 inches of the gun in order for the gun to be, in order to go.
What good is that? What good is that?
Well, it keeps your kids from firing the guns off. Yeah.
So in other words, you have to wear this wristwatch.
I don't have any kids.
And it's kind of like if it's a quasi-biometric thing.
Exactly. Yeah. It's €5,000. I mean, that's $7,500. It's like a revolver, too, I think, or something.
I'd take a miniature turbine engine for a radio-controlled aircraft.
I understand that. Son, look, everybody's got priorities. I'm saying it's
everybody's got priorities.
All right, what else we got, Jimmy? What's happening?
I'm done.
I want a wristwatch activated Laws rocket. That's what I want.
You don't want much, do you?
No, of course not.
Nope, I got nothing.
I was making stuff up. That's Jack Rhodes' present. Yeah, you can put that on. Yeah, you can. Why don't you just open it up and just show the world what he got for Christmas that he still hadn't picked up yet?
This was your present.
All right, so we got any light notes?
Light notes?
Are we crazy frogging into it?
Well, we could. Wait. I got. Well,
you know, we gave Stitch.
It's light notes time on the Jimmy Doan Show. That's right. If you're just tuning in now, please don't go away because today is some of the craziest light notes you'll ever hear. And starting us off is Stitch from the Hanger Dogs.
What the hell?
This is the funniest one you'll ever hear. Go.
Oh, God.
Hey, do you have a Hindus in the news?
You know what?
No. Yeah, you guys.
Well, we'll give you 5 seconds of...
Yeah, no, exactly. Look, we sent you an email and everything.
Yeah.
let me get this straight. We're putting in 47 sound effects on one track.
Well, yeah, I'm trying to make up for it in the first one. I didn't do so many.
Jeez, I like it.
Jeez, man, Eddie. What we didn't do was my soundbite that I sent you.
Oh, I have it right here.
Okay.
Okay, let me
give you the intro.
Before you light notes, okay, you want to give it a little
preface?
Yeah,
I'm going to give you a little intro. I listened to a podcast by Slate Magazine. It's called The Gabfest. And there's three of them that get on there, and they are quintessential liberals. And Slate is kind of a, I think it's an internet kind of magazine, but I think they also have a print version. And they're a pretty liberal crowd. Anyway, these three people get on, and they are the quintessential. So this soundbite I've got for you is from their last podcast. If you get a chance, I love it. I mean, it's really funny people because they're, you know, pretty much wrong. But I mean, what's great about this is the girl, this Emily Barzahn or whatever her name is, she's like an attorney, and she's, you know, should be old enough to know a lot of stuff and everything. But when you listen to this, this is the quintessential, perfect Hollywood Central casting. Liberal. I mean,
this is real.
This is real.
All right, I'm going to play the clip right now.
This is from the podcast.
Okay, ready?
Okay, yeah.
Politics creates, the reason politics matters, the reason it matters who's president in part is that it creates the conditions for commercial innovation, for all the things that make America great, right? I mean, that's one of the big fights we're having is how quick the country's going to be to adapt, how good its laws are going to be at both protecting us from the excesses of the free market, but also really allowing the good parts of the market to blossom. And so to separate these two things out and say like, oh, the State of the Union is boring and I just want to be entertained by Steve Jobs is to miss an essential connection between the two.
That's a great point, Emily. That's a great rebuke to me.
You're just trying to get laid.
I think one of the things, the points that it so enrages me these days about conservatives, or not conservatives, I should say, about Republicans, is this failure to recognize that innovation doesn't, it's not as though Apple just exists, that Apple, you know, suddenly springs fully formed from the head of Athena, that or Zeus, I should say, that it is the public education system or the state university system. It's access to capital. It's regulated banks. It's it's a patent system which protects intellectual property. All of these things which are utterly essential to American innovation and to our success, which are core functions of the government, and which we are doing worse and worse and worse and worse every year.
Now, I want to ask you, that was like a minute and 30 seconds.
Yeah, it was.
Does that encapsulate? I want to know.
Actually, as from a hypnotist standpoint, you can tell they're idiots just by how they talk.
Well, no.
Yeah.
I wanted you to listen to this because it's one of the more entertaining. I wait every Thursday or Friday, whenever it comes on, desperately, so like a 30-minute deal.
Jimmy waits to hear.
Wait to hear this because it is so. But I mean, is that not absolutely Hollywood Central stereotypical? The voice and everything.
Without
what do you think?
Question.
I mean,
all it missed was the oh my god.
You're right. No. Yeah, there was. I think there was one like in there, but that's not the point. The point is these are really smart people, which is a little scary, but I mean, they're really smart people and they're entertaining. I love to listen to the show, but it was interesting because I wrote them an email when they did, they were devastated about the Supreme Court ruling about the free speech thing. And as far as they were concerned, you know, now things will run amok. Democracy is dead. And this, you know, we're doomed. And I'm just, you know, the whole point is, who can you imagine Congress, the people who are currently elected, entrusting them with passing laws to enable their opponents to win elections? I don't think so. I mean, any campaign finance law that's ever been passed by Congress is certainly self-serving, as is the incumbent's protection law. And here's somebody that says the excesses of the free market. And so who do you trust to control the excesses? Somebody with a bunch of guns. I mean, these people could come in and say, oh, you're being excessive. Oh, by the way, we don't have 11 fast food restaurants on a 2-block stretch, and that's too many. And, you know, this is an excess of, you know, we talked about in the first half of this thing. But anyway, just the whole thing, I thought it was, I'm almost speechless because when you go through this thing, you could almost parse out every sentence and say, what are you thinking? And you know what they're thinking. It's really great. I thought it was a great clip to show the, I won't say blindness, but the, I'm not even saying Kool-Aid drinking, but it's a mindset of people that have been brought up.
Yeah, it's a broad acceptance of the policies that were started by FDR.
Right.
I mean, it's the idea that the government creates, like he said, it creates the conditions for the economic situation. No. The conditions for economic prosperity exist in nature.
Right. And not only that, think about it for a second. He's talking about Apple Computer, for instance, which was started in a garage.
Right. He said
literally.
It didn't spring from the head. Yes, it did.
Yeah, it did.
It did. One day it was in the garage, and the next day it was.
Well, not only that, think about it for a second. Think about before the government was here, essentially. Think about the 1890s. Think about the invention of the telephone.
Right.
What about the government rules and regulations,
the essential patent law,
et cetera, so forth.
He says,
you know, what about all that for the telephone, the telegraph, the railroads, the you know, all that stuff before there was hardly any government here, almost no regulation, and think about the growth of the Model T Ford cars.
Right.
I mean, there were like 400 manufacturers of cars in the 20s.
Oh, no. Public education was responsible for all that.
We didn't even have public education until, you know.
I don't know. I mean, I hope when you say that these are really smart people that you're talking tongue-in-cheek. I mean,
No. I think that they are intelligent people. It's just that
they really have not thought about these particular issues.
No, they haven't. I know that, but I'm just saying this is the kind of thing that I.
Stitch is looking at the thing. I'm looking at the delayed over here, the feed. Yeah, she's got the Jimmy is hot thing up there.
All right, can we quit the show now? I'm ready to go. I got my date. Cool.
Yeah. Well, I mean that is basically I'm sick and tired of hearing about the failures of capitalism and the need for this success. I mean, not literally.
I mean, like these guys can fix it. They've done such a great job so far, you know. You look at the great successes. Medicare broke, Social Security broke, Amtrak broke, Post Office $3 billion.
Well, how come they don't look back at the Great Society and at Mao and at FDR and these things and see the devastation that was wrought by the same programs that they're trying to install right now? It's like they don't even know that.
Well, the thing about it that a lot of people don't realize is when you set up these programs, even if you have the geniuses that said, what if they're wrong?
Right.
Well, I mean, what if they're wrong? What if they make a mistake? Well, the devastation is nationwide, as we have seen when Freddie and Fannie, you know, bought up, it leveraged themselves 1,000 to 1 or whatever it is, and the whole thing came. Who would have done that?
Yeah.
No banker on this planet would have done that without the explicit guarantee of the taxpayer.
Right, right.
I mean, nobody. I mean, I remember when I got my first house, it was 20% down, and by God, you had to show, you know, a third of your income, no more than to buy the damn house, or else you didn't own it. And of course, my problem is, what's wrong with renting? I'm sorry, you got a whole roof over your head. Why do you have, what is so magic about owning a house?
Jimmy, that was the American dream.
I understand, away. You know, my dream is to go to space. Okay? Ain't going to happen, you know? I got a dream to travel faster than light. I want to go to Alpha Centauri, you know? That's my dream. Sorry, ain't going to happen. I want time travel
space.
Backwards.
Here I come.
I got things to do in 1955. I got serious things to do in 1957. So
wow,
that probably ain't going to happen.
Serious people to do.
That's right. Serious people to do, too. That's right.
What, all right. What else? You got anything
that's
else?
That's it. I'm done.
Light notes.
Light notes. Let's go. Okay, back on.
I have a couple.
All right.
Figure.
Stitch, we gave you 10, 15 minutes warning. You didn't come up with something. What happened to smaller?
And now it's time for Hindus in the...
Oh! Wait a minute. Oh, no. Oh,
waiting for the setup there.
Okay, good. All that crap stopped. Okay, the Indian city of Mumbai has recently and mysteriously hit with an onslaught of condom thefts.
Condom thefts?
Yeah, criminals have broken into more than 500 of the 3,000 condom vending machines installed in Mumbai as a part of a AIDS prevention program. Officials feel motives may vary. Some say it's for fun, others for small change. Still others feel the motive is to get free condoms. Whatever be the case, the Hindustan Latex Family Planning Promotion Trust, yes, that's an organization who provides vending machines in conjunction with other organizations, are highly concerned. The Indian state of Maharashtra, of which Mumbai is the capital, has one of the highest number of HIV-infected people. These machines are installed in areas where high-risk people like truck drivers are likely to visit. Often these places also have drug addicts or petty thieves. When a machine is damaged, then you have to factor how many people would go without a condom. One of the guidelines is that a person should be able to procure one within 15 minutes. It's not that easy for people to use condoms and take them from these machines, says Rajesh Nagywal of the Hindustan Latex Family Planning Promotion Trust. The damage to hundreds of more than 3,000 machines, which usually loaded with 20 packs of condoms each, goes beyond the financial loss, although the dynamo in the machines fetch good prices in the gray markets. There are always needed in slot machines in video parlors, yeah. Apparently. So many officials have expressed concern over what they believe is police apathy. No action has been taken against the vandals, whom police believe are drunks. And drug addicts, social workers are advocating a shift of relocation for these machines to safer areas like hospitals or washrooms.
So the truck drivers and the AIDS people can't get them anymore.
And apparently they have 24/7 man toilets. That one I don't get, but apparently in India they have 24/7 man toilets. So.
No, they do. They do in a lot of places. I've been in Paris. They have them too.
Is Pinky in India right now?
Yeah, it's a, you know.
What I like is all these organizations with the stress on organ.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So. Well, and that's it for Hindus in the news.
All right. I can't believe somebody. You can't believe that somebody's going to break in for a. I mean, condoms are expensive, but I mean, 20. I mean, you know, I can understand if you get like 200 or.
What are they made of? No,
they're latex.
Like lamb intestines or
look,
something.
To me, this is obvious. What's happened is they put these things in the freaking back alley, and it's got money in it.
Oh, that's true.
I mean, you know, people are going to smash
it. Well, I, if they were really concerned about the AIDS, the money that should be in there should literally be. It should be like a penny.
Right, right.
So it wouldn't be worth it to break it in for the money.
Right, and then you're for the condoms, and then if you're only charging a penny, then they're gonna use they're gonna get them anyway. I mean,
right, exactly. You know, if you come to get for a penny, and then but of course, I guess some especially virile truck drivers might need all. 20.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking, man. They're focused on the truck drivers. So
yeah, no wonder.
I don't know what it is about driving a truck. Maybe listening to country western music in India or something. I don't know.
Well, every once in a while, you know, you hear some beaver talk on the, I'm driving around too, you know.
Oh,
and and all of a sudden the airwaves melt as every truck driver in the world tries to get hold of us.
Yeah, they have no life.
No, that's right, obviously. Yeah. Okay, what's next?
I've got this one thing that, did you hear that the strippermobile comes to a bump and grinding halt in Las Vegas?
Imagine imagine the humanity. Bump and grinding.
You mean the one with the glass sides?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, I think that was discussed at some point in time.
Yeah, no, we talked about it months ago. It was like they hauled it. They didn't arrest him, but they had to stop for some.
But it was like New York is when it was when we were talking about it.
Yeah, this is Vegas.
Yeah, Vegas.
They shut down the same one over there too. That.
Which again, like. It was one of these situations, and it's closed.
Well, they were upset. I forget what it was, but we talked about this. They were upset because...
No, we talked about the New York one. We didn't talk about the Vegas one.
I thought it was the Vegas one we talked about. Because they were advertising some casino.
Right.
And they were upset. The other casinos were complaining, I think, because it was like... too much advertisement, they're out competing us in the advertising or something, and they found
your
some...
own damn pole dancers then.
Hey, well, exactly. They got him on some other thing like skimpy bathing suit or I don't know what it was. It was for the children as usual or something.
Yeah.
Or there were some people that had taken an extra Viagra and had a heart attack or something. I don't know.
Well,
they were talking about pole dancing, all right. They were throwing out Viagra candy out in the thing as they were walking down the thing, of course.
All right, this one's impossible for us not to have talked about because it just came out the other day. New tour takes visitors into L.A. ganglands.
We talked about this.
No, we couldn't have.
No,
because
no,
this
no,
is,
I talked about this.
It you was might si- have, in, but it's...
It was $65 to go through.
That's fine. You talked about it. Was it on Jimmy Doan's show?
Yeah, there's
because
no...
Because I got the... I'm looking at the date here. This is
just a couple
1/30, 2010.
Fresh, man. It's fresh.
This is fresh stuff, man.
So $65.
Yeah.
What do you get? Do you get a mugged? Or what do you get?
No, they take it.
You get mugged. You get a fake mugging by... No, yeah. Actually, what they've done is they...
Get your picture taken with an actual gang
member. Right. Basically, they're having... This is L.A. Gang Tours. Was created by Alfred Lomas, a former gang member, who says the tour will create... 10 part-time jobs for ex-gang members who will lead the tours and share their own stories. So basically, it's like a big bus, and they drive you down to all these places that you would pretty much never go.
Right up in here.
Well,
anybody y'all want a bag? We can step in this.
That's right.
And now we'll go over to my other friend's house.
We call these a souvenir.
Right.
Yeah, you want 20 or 30 crack rock souvenirs.
Right.
No,
a souvenir.
Okay, when was our last show?
Well, I don't know. Jimmy, don't you have the internet
the
20, over there?
The 29?
I'm busy. I'm doing the show. You can
honey,
look it
we
up.
Need to, we, honey, we need to get a souvenir to bring back and show
absolutely,
all our friends
and show
that we
our,
were in gangland.
Right, and share it with them. It's all a right, shareable yeah. souvenir.
Okay, anyway, I sent this over to you on January 16th.
Okay, well, it's now our show was after that. Anyway, because I can tell you this much, because Gino responded to me, because... He and I were both in a band out in L.A., and I talked about it, and it's like the bus tour apparently goes pretty much right by where we used to work down there at Florence and Normandy, which is where the riots started. We were at 53rd and Normandy was the home shop down where we used to have tint windows, and believe me, there was plenty of bullet holes in the walls of our window tinting shop. The tour is going to run once a month right now, and the tour bus is unmarked out of respect for area residents. And
you're not allowed to take photos either.
No, riders of the tour are not permitted to take photos or
BS.
Video.
Come on,
yeah, no, that is crap.
On,
I mean,
man.
You know, they can, you know this.
And here's a photo of me with the criminal, yeah. And then he took my camera.
And
what they do is, of course, they
cap of my leg.
They tried to bust down there, and the bus like disappears.
Right,
right,
right. And the bus is on blocks. and then not much left in there.
And there was a bunch of watchless people.
And there's
somebody filed a missing persons report for exactly 47 people. And they were all missing from exactly the same spot. And all of their bank accounts have exactly been cleaned out.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
no, I thought
the robbers came onto the bus and they waved around guns. And we had to give them cash.
It's all free market, man.
I'm telling you, I don't understand myself. This is
they signed up for the real experience, you know. That's yeah. That was the extra. There was $55 for the normal tour.
$25 for the pistol whip.
Yeah. That's right. You want some extra?
You want a receipt?
Yeah.
Right.
going to cost you a little extra.
I'm sorry. I got change for 100, do you? Here. No problem. Here, here's a little baggie, okay? That's all I got for change. A little white baggie with white powder. Okay. That's all I got for change. No, I mean, I think what they missed the boat on this was really doing it upright. I mean, have the gang, you know, get the film, get, you know, out there. With, here I am with a Blood and a Crip, you know, whatever.
A Blood and a Crip.
You know, I mean,
Brit.
That's right.
Blood.
You have to choose a side and fight one of them.
Yeah. Actually, yeah, well, we have paintball wars, only they're not with balls.
Yeah, right.
Things,
it's not,
you know,
paintballs.
Right, it's not paintballs. Right.
It's,
you know,
real balls.
You know, I'll take that pretty good looking stud over there. Yeah, he'll be on my team. You can take that big old fat guy in a Hawaiian shirt. Yeah, get him on your team. Yeah, we'll see who's going to win this.
It's
one.
Like out of Weird Science. You know, do you mind if I dance with your niece?
That's Blues Brothers, man.
No, man. Come
no,
on.
No, it was Animal
weird.
House.
No, he's right.
I mean, that's what I mean. Animal House. Yeah,
it was Weird
Animal
Science.
House, yeah.
No, and, Weird Science no, was
when the geeks went to the bar.
Yeah.
But
that was
the
takeoff
no,
on Animal House.
Kicked me in the nuts, man.
Yeah. Hey, that's what I'm talking about.
Like to kick me in the family too.
We've seen all those movies.
Oh God, dude, we like own them. All right, well, that's great. Hey, Stitch, buddy. It doesn't get any better than this.
Hey, it was great listening to you guys.
Hang a dog.
That's right,
man. If you guys get a chance, please email, what is it, Gene at hangerdogs.com.
Gene, yeah.
Yeah, G-E-N-E. Yeah. And just say, hey, WTF.
Just remember, K-Man rocks.
Well, K-Man does rock. Woo-hoo, K-Man. But yeah, man, we're going to basically have to adopt you.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
All right by me.
No, that's fine. We
feel
no
like a Haitian.
Not a problem, man. Well, anyway, thanks to our beautiful babe Lisa here, Studio Babe Lisa.
Yeah, really.
You know,
hey, we're gonna actually get some hits on this show. I can tell you.
You're classing up the show now.
I'm telling you right now, our hits went up like what were you at to now? Like 50. 70? Yeah.
70.
All right. Yeah, from the two that Jimmy had on, the cameras on him. Imagine that. Wow, that's just incredible.
It's a shocker, isn't it?
Well, I'm telling you right now. You know,
I find it hard to believe.
Well, actually, I have no problem with it at all because they're listening to us. They're just watching her.
And
which means they're not listening to us.
Yeah, right.
Well, I found to be true. I know how they feel.
If you like the show at all, send us an email. Jimmy@JimmyDone.com.
Oh, that's right.
Counselor Curtis at JimmyDone.com or engineer.
You can write to Stitch, too.
That's right. And Stitch, what's your email?
I was going to say.
Stitch at El Paso
Tell.net. Right. STITCH.
Actually, if they can send Stitch's
hey,
email,
you can put
us
a link
we'll like
to it.
Yeah.
Oh, there you go. Hey, my gosh, why not?
No, we'll
go to JimmyDone.com.
Well, we'll check
out our past
shows. If you send it to us and touches this, we won't read it at all.
No. And we'll be back next week.
Actually, we have some Jimmy junk to give away if you guys send us in into a email JIMMYDONE.com. If you send us an email in, we have a table over here we're working on clearing some stuff out on. And Jimmy's got two other house piles around here that of different technological type stuff. And we also have a couple coffee mugs left in case anybody's interested. So.
Oh, really? Coffee mugs? Where'd you get those?
Yeah, actually, well, he's here. Put that here, Lisa. Model that on the Justin TV there for everybody. There. Yeah, you gotta like get right. Yeah, there you go. Like, squeeze
Jimmy
it in
Doan,
there. Make
JimmyDone.com.
Sure.
Come by, check us out, and love to have you. We'll
yeah,
be back
she's
in
got
2 weeks.
It right there.
Hopefully, with more cameras and more fun.
Yeah, there you go. Woo-wee.
You guys rock.
Thank you, sir.
All right, we'll catch you guys on the flip side.
Yeah, you got to get your mojo working right now, you understand? And then I said, woof, there it is.